this journey through the book of Luke a couple months ago. We talked about several of the visitations. The angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth about the birth of John. Then the same angel Gabriel came to Mary about having the birth of Jesus. And then Mary went to visit with Elizabeth. Then she must have returned. Elizabeth gave birth. The angels visited the shepherds. The shepherds then visited Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. All the visitations took place early on. And we've kind of making transition to a kind of an Advent story. Usually we use the word Advent in December. We talk about Advent week 1, 2, 3, and 4. But there were other first. There were other comings and goings along the way. We talked about Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple. Now, today we are in chapter 2, verse number 25 is where I want to begin reading immediately. So let's look at this together and talk through this, and let me share with you some things this morning God's put on my heart. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem," that's where the temple is, "called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. And he was also waiting for the consolation of Israel." The word consolation comes from the word comforting or comfort, reconciliation. The Jews, the Israelites, the children of Israel have always been waiting for the consolation. For them, the consolation is the coming of the Messiah. And so that's what he was waiting for, this consolation, comforting coming of the Messiah for Israel. And it continues, "the Holy Spirit was with him." This is an Advent of itself, because we don't hear about the Holy Spirit in this form coming in the Old Testament as often as we will now begin to see it happening. There's been 400 years of silence, prophetic silence and worship silence. Even written history is kind of void during this time. And so the Holy Spirit was with him. Verse 26. "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's message," a Messiah or messenger. So he was moved by the Spirit in verse 27, and he went to the temple courts. I'll fill in some more of this in a moment. "And when the parents," Mary and Joseph, "brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law that was required," and that's what we read about in verses 21 through 24 and we talked about before. "When the parents did this," verse 28, "Simeon must have recognized, knew by the Spirit's movement in his life, took him in his own arms and praised God." And this is what he said, "Sovereign Lord, you have, just as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Now, Simeon is not telling God what to do. Simeon, in that statement, is recognizing that God is a God who fulfills his promises, and he's now ready for whatever comes next. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations. It is a light for revelation to all the, even to the Gentiles, and the glory it will be of your people Israel." I'll talk about that too. And it closes out and says that the child's father and mother, Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said all about him, Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many within Israel." Now, I'll stop there and make this comment as an aside. The falling and the rising is the rejection of the Messiah who did come, is still being rejected by the Jews today. But the rising is for all the Jews and the Gentiles to come to know Jesus, come to know God through what Jesus Christ has done. There's the comma. "And to be a sign that will be spoken against," and many people speak against Jesus Christ even to this day, "so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." You want to know what a man's heart is like, ask him what he thinks about Jesus. And it will be revealed. And then a very prophetic statement, which I'm not going to go into today. And a sword, a spear, will pierce your soul also. I want to pray for a moment. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is one of those passages of Scripture that is often overlooked and passed over, and we just move on. But there's so much here that we don't even have time today to address it all. But may your Holy Spirit open these words to our minds from this different direction that I'll take, so that we can see the glory of your people shining in us for a world that is in darkness. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I want to do is kind of a reverse tactic here, and I want to talk about the mistakes that we make as followers of Jesus Christ in our lives. I'm just going to be listing them. I'm not going to take a lot of time to work through those, but I want to talk about the mistakes that are kind of revealed here in this story itself. It begins with this. We don't live correctly anymore in America or in the world itself. It says there was a man who lived in Jerusalem. He lived in the town where the temple is, and his name is Simeon, who was righteous and devout. The word righteous literally means he was without prejudice or partiality. His prejudice was not there toward even the Gentiles. We'll talk about how to determine a cult in a moment, but he was impartial. The bottom line is he loved people. He loved being with people, and he loved worshiping with people. Prejudice will lead us to dismiss the truth. The dismissal of truth will lead us to lie. And when we live in the lie, quote unquote, we can't be righteous in God's eyes. He was a righteous man. It said he was devout. He was cautiously recognizing the eternal nature of our existence. Do you get up in the morning and realize what this is all about? Or do we get up in the morning and we just start taking care of our business? We need to recognize and understand that we are not a biological evolutionary accident or mutant. Don't ask me to repeat that. But we also need to recognize that we're more than the accumulation of the things and stuff that we have, the degrees we earn, the work we do. We were made in God's image. We were created to walk with Him in the cool of the shade of the morning and the day, and we sinned and broke all those relationships. Now, in this, I mentioned the 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New. That silence took place in at least two places in Judges. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. In other words, there was no one to stand up before the people that the people would trust and believe in and follow who said, thus saith the Lord. That's what's happening in the world today. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and so everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's exactly what's happening in our world today. We're living in an unrighteous, non-devout, anything goes, it just matters what I feel world. We're not living correctly. Secondly, we don't wait patiently. He was waiting for the consolation, for the comfort, for the coming of the Messiah. He was fortunate that the Spirit revealed what was about to happen, and he got to see in his life that revelation. I love the passage of Scripture. It's found in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to learn to wait. Waiting is work. Waiting is hard. But he waited. He waited. He didn't get ahead of God. Thirdly, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit fully anymore. He said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with him. You know those kinds of people. You see those kinds of people in church and elsewhere. And when there's a need in your life for prayer, who do you go to? That person. That person of prayer. That person that you know is filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, not to be drunk with wine. And we get caught up with the wine issue and not understanding that this was a symbol in that day. He says the wine leads to debauchery. He said instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. What we're being filled with are the things of this world. And it's just as much of a debauchery to be filled with the substances of this world as it is to be filled and drunk with wine. We have a tendency to fill every nook and cranny of our life with something. We can't just relax. We can't just be calm, be still, as the Scripture says, and know that God is God. And that craving that we have to fill every nook and cranny, it's called stuffing. Psychologically, it's called stuffing. Oh, I've got an hour here. I got to do something. When's the last time you just sat down and took a breath? That's what you told me. Take a breath. Take a breath. And not be in such a hurry. We fill our days with activities. We fill our minds with dangerous dreams. We fill our bodies with wrong foods. And we fill our hearts with resentment. And I could go on and on and on and on. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, we no longer receive revelations of God spontaneously. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, calming down, slowing down, being still, waiting patiently, hearing God's Word allows for those spontaneous things to happen in our life. And we're not, it's not like, okay, I'm going over there to have a spontaneous moment with God. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being ready and willing to able to be somewhere that God might want you. You don't even recognize it at first, but when you get there, you know, this is why I'm here. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, and so he waited patiently. He was living correctly, waiting patiently. He was being filled by the Holy Spirit daily through his prayer life, and he came to have that spontaneous moment. He didn't wake up that day and say, today is the day I'm going to see the Messiah. No, he woke up that day and said, today is the day the Lord hath made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. And he was doing the things he was supposed to be doing. And at that moment, spontaneously, the Messiah came in, and he knew the Lord. Fifth, we're not moved by the Holy Spirit like that spiritually anymore. We're moved. He says he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he went into the temple. Now, I'm going to speed up here. Six, we never recognized the work of God immediately. We're so busy. We got so many things to do. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, he recognized immediately what God had been telling him all along. I'm amazed because I don't coordinate my messages with the Sunday school classes and the studies that you do in those groups, or sometimes with what I'm doing on Sunday nights during the non-summer months. And I'm amazed at how people come up to me and say, that's exactly what we were talking about in Sunday school class. That's exactly where our discussion went. And I'm going, that's God. That's what God does. And he does it all the time. He recognized the Lord in the hands of Mary and Joseph. He took the Lord and took him into his own hands near his heart. And it says he worshiped. He worshiped our God. That's that immediate, spontaneous, spiritual moment. Seven, we never submit to the will of God willingly. We go begrudgingly. They drag us to church. Got to drag, the old saying, I've been a drug addict all my life. They drug me to church when I was a baby. They drug me to church when I was a youth. They drug me to church till I got married, and then I drug myself out of church and never came back. I've heard that. You know, it's sad. But he said, you know, Lord, the words he used were, you may dismiss your servant now in peace. He wasn't telling God what to do. He was admitting God was in charge of all of this, and he was happy. And he had seen the Lord. And if you have seen the Lord in your life, and if you recognize the Messiah of the Lord in your life, you should be just as ready to go in peace to see Him. Number 8, we don't see the salvation of God personally. And this is probably the most important thing, because this is where it all starts from. For my eyes, He said, have seen your salvation. We need to tell the world, stop it. You can feel good or you can feel bad all you want to. But if you don't know the Lord and what He's done for you, all that you have, all that you are is useless, worthless. Do you know Him personally? Do you? I'm not talking about the intellectual knowledge of, I know that Mary and Joseph had a baby named Jesus. He grew up. When he became 30, he became a preacher. He got some disciples. When he was 33, they arrested him. They crucified him. He died, and they say he came from the grave. That's the intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the heart knowledge, where He comes in and forgives you of your sin, and His Holy Spirit begins to remake you back into the image that you were created in the first place. Do you know Him personally? Do you know Him? We don't allow for the salvation of God universally. If you do know Him personally, and you have Him universally, you'll recognize that there are times when the person you think shouldn't be saved still has the opportunity to be saved. I said that I would tell you this, so I will. Betsy, I think I left those last two off. They're not on there? Is the person only the last one? Okay, I'm at universally. Ooh, I skipped that one. That's why it happened there. My bad. You want to know the difference between the truth and a cult? A cult won't allow you to make your decision. God will. God will let you live any way you want to live. But a cult won't. You get caught up into a cult, they will transform you into their way of living. Even to the point that some of them will kill you if you disagree. Radical Islam does just that. And then the last one, we don't worship the Lord reverently. He has a phrase here in this statement where he says, and the glory of your people, Israel. He's the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He's not talking about Israel and their glory. They're talking about the fact that Israel knew the glory of God that shone through them. It's not our glory, it's His. Now look at that list and ask yourself the question. Do I have to do these things to be saved? You have to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But when you're saved, when you are right, when you are righteously living and devoutly following, these things come into play in our lives. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes and fail Him. That's just a part of life. God understands that. God loves us in spite of that. But we need to look at the list. We need to ask ourselves the question, what are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? So I'm going to give you a list here, another list, and this is it. Sin nature wants to defeat us. Satan wants to destroy us. Powers of evil want to take us down. What are the cravings of a sinful nature? Here's that list. First of all, when we are blessed, our sinful nature produces pride. When we see others have success, our sinful nature produces envy. When we do something good, our sinful nature says, what a good boy I am, self-righteous am I. When we do something wrong, our sinful nature says to deny it. We fall into denial. When we suffer, our sinful nature tells us we indulge in self-pity. When we don't get what we want, our sinful nature gets irritated, frustrated, and angry. When our work isn't recognized, we get resentful. When we're in a conflict, our nature produces self-justification. When we hear about God's love, the sinful nature produces unbelief and doubt. And when we hear what the Bible says about sin, our sinful nature evades that. That's what's happening. Simeon was prepared for what God wanted to happen in his life. Simeon didn't know that it would be a baby. He didn't know that. Simeon didn't know what this consolation of Israel would look like. He just knew that the Holy Spirit had spoken to his heart and that he was going to live till it happened. Teenagers, you don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I've been to probably 7 or 8 centrifuge camps. Been to Panama City at least 4 times. They're all different. The band's different. The music's different. The people are different. But the thing that's consistent, those camps or anywhere else in this worship, is that God never changes. And when he shows up and reveals himself, you'll know it. Simeon saw the baby and went, that's it. What about us? Is that it? Have we seen the Lord today? I love it. I love it. He says, they marveled. When we see God, we will marvel and ask ourselves questions like Simeon did. Let's pray. Father, I am so excited because your word continues to reveal new things to me and to us every day. Studying it is a pleasure. Reading it over and over again is a joy. Learning more and more about how you work in our lives, it's invigorating. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing to teach us, prepare us for the consolation of Israel, the second coming of the Messiah. And so, Lord, as we examine our life today, and we have, help us to point out to us the things that we need to change and help us to change them. We want to recommit our lives to you. We want to rededicate our hearts and minds to you. We want to be found faithful doing all the things that you've always wanted us to do so that we can enjoy that walk in the garden, the cool of the shade of the day. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin. Renew a right spirit within us according to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord. Father, if there's even one today who has never confessed their sin, ask Jesus to forgive them of their sin, ask Jesus to come into their life and be their Lord and Savior, and prepare for baptism. If there's even one, may this be the day while we sing, they come forward and say, I'm ready. I want Jesus in my life. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for all that are here. May we have worshiped you well as we stand and as we sing in Christ's wonderful holy name. Amen. So as the band leads us, let's stand. Reflect on these words. Sing them from your heart. If Jesus shows up, respond. Let's stand.
Let's sing together.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart. Is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me. Is what you want from me. What you want from me.
So when you least expect it, you may have a moment like Simeon and go, wow, this is a God thing. Let's pray. Lord, if it takes brokenness to get us to that moment where we can recognize your presence in our lives, then Lord, break us. Do whatever you have to do that we might serve and honor your precious holy name. Send us out these doors, a light shining in the darkness to do thy will, each and every moment of our life. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.